I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Sexy Unique Podcast. And I'm your host, Lara Marie Shanehals.
We have a special guest for part one of the three-part reunion. Please welcome Chrissy Milazzo.
Hello.
Is it Milazzo or Milazzo?
Yeah. Okay. Well, like in Italian, it's like Milazzo.
Milazzo.
Yeah. That was really good.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Good. I just want to make sure I pronounce everyone's names correctly. This reunion, I think, was better than most of the episodes this season.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, in general, I love the reunions the most, mm-hmm. but like the fact that we even just got James and Lala back ignited a special fire that was not there throughout these last episodes.
Yeah, they're a gift.
They really are.
I am so happy to see James again and so happy stoked. That he was really on fire. He seemed to win a lot of people over.
Sober,
he's
a
breakout star.
Like he's thriving in recovery. Like his one drink a night recovery.
Yeah.
But I was like very happy to see James in whatever his element is.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like it was his element.
I know. He's a star.
And next to Jax.
Yeah. And next to Jax, which was huge.
I feel like they're father and son.
They are. I think... The crazy thing about this reunion was that and the show in general, is that it points out a lot of parallels between characters because Jax and James are obviously like the same person.
Yeah.
And then Katie and Lala, weirdly, are kind of the same
Very
person.
Sensitive.
Very
and, like,
sensitive.
Uncomfortable. And almost like they don't want to be on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird. Like they should be doing something else where they're not on camera, but they don't know what they want to be doing, so they're there.
Yeah,
kind of the vibe I get. Like Lala loves the attention, but I don't think she has like a mission. Like it seems like Ariana wants to be an actress, and like Sheena wants to be Andy Cohen.
Wait, that is crazy. By the way, we just need to take a detour from this conversation. I didn't see her on Watch What Happens Live, but then I read something where she's going to have a digital talk show.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, no, I just said that because I thought after watching the reunion last night, I was drunk and I went back. Like, I was like, said to Brandon, I was like, do you want to see the best reunion ever? And then we watched the season 2 reunion. And in that reunion, Sheena's justifying her music career. Which we've all forgotten so easily.
Well, didn't she, what was she saying about it?
She was saying that, like, she was like, of course, because basically all that season, like during the season, she was really stoked to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like performing on the Pride float. And she was like, this is my single. she was pretty shay about it, honestly. Like, I'm in the stew. And then during the reunion, she was just like categorically denying like all goals in music. And she was like, it was never my passion.
Yeah.
I always.
She switched. She flipped the switch.
Totally. I think she realized, I think like good on her, but like she didn't really own that she failed. But I feel like she realized like, this is not the direction I want to go, like seeing it on screen. And then she was like, but I'm charismatic and hot.
Yeah.
And so she wants to be in that reunion of season two. She's like, I want your job, Andy. And I guess now she's
Now she's getting it, I guess. Wow. I remember her pivoting.
Full circle moment.
Yeah. And going from like, I'm the next Britney Spears. Everyone says I look like her. To then just being like, yeah, I did these songs as a joke. And like, people would just ask me to do one, a song. So I'd do a song. It's not a big deal. It's nothing. Yeah. And then now is like trying to be like a personality. However, where I like bump on Sheena's career aspirations, I mean, I bump on a lot of things about her, but particularly like her career as like a talk show host, mm-hmm. she's not open with her own life or like honest with her own life. And in a way, maybe that she doesn't even realize she's not being honest, but she gets so flustered by like the truth of things that she can't like confront it and talk about it in like a real way. Like during the this reunion, when Lisa's like, well, if I had married Shay, I would have gotten a prenup or like,
which anyone, like savage.
I know. So savage. Lisa gives no fucks, but like she gets too flustered. And so I'm like, that's not a good talk show host. Like a good talk show host is someone that can like command and then like drop into like real shit, but then like pull back and joke. Right. And so I just am TBD on Sheena's like.
I think she'd be like a good, like you remember like the Real World Road Rules challenges, mm-hmm. how they like no one remembers who hosted those.
Yeah.
But I feel like she's a good like hype man type, and she should. Like, she could succeed in an environment where she's, like, doing a dating show where she is just, like, introducing guests and stuff. Like, the next bus.
Yeah.
Like, I could see her in that role because it's, like, you really don't have to do any, like, emotional work.
Or, like, and it's singled not, out or something like that.
Yeah, like, something where she's just being, like, hot and charismatic and, like, making fun of people.
I know, but she doesn't even, like, she's not even that charismatic in a way.
I guess by charismatic, I mostly mean hot.
Yeah, she's like, insanely hot.
Sheena's so hot. And I was listening to Roseman's episode, and obviously he was ranking, he couldn't stop throwing Kristen in his top five.
No, and that was, like, a total, like, subconsciously, he's
everyone
down
wants
for
to
Kristen.
Fuck Kristen.
Everyone does.
We should all move on from the fact, like, it's not about physicality with these people as much as it's about like
what they bring out inside of you.
Yeah. And Kristen's like this animalistic sort of psycho.
She'll tear not sort of psycho, it but up in the bedroom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like she would ruin your day and your life, and it would be worth it.
Yeah.
For a moment in time.
I fully believe that she would be some of the best sex you could ever have.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the vibe with like all her relationships. And that's why Carter and her are so like strange. Like I do want to know more about Carter. I feel like he's probably really boring.
He seems boring as fuck,
like so boring. But I want to know, like, I don't really feel like we see their dynamics. Like, we've just seen them all season be like so lovey-dovey and positive, and I'm like, that can't be.
I can't tell if Carter levels her out or if she's just on like really good meds.
It can't be that. Well, that's something that would be amazing to see on screen, because like none of these people have ever sought help for like any of their problems.
But Kristen has this whole song and dance about how she has, like, she's been in therapy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, she says she's been in therapy.
Yeah, she says she's been in therapy.
I completely
and, like,
ignored that.
Has like gone through, like, done soul searching and is like trying not to be crazy anymore. And part of me is like, good on you. But also, I'm just like, it's sad because this show rewards everyone for their bad behavior.
Yeah.
Like, that's a whole basis of their
world. In general,
world.
Like, L.A. is, like,
LA
bring your mental
and, like,
illness.
The
let's
fame of,
go.
Like, and reality TV is, like, the more mentally ill you are, the more captivating you are to watch.
Totally.
And so what's been kind of a bummer this season has been, like, Kristen is not really, like, heavily featured because she's not being insane. The couple times that she was being insane, like when she was like jabberwocky, like coked out in the alley, like making like contorting her body and like confronting Tom Sandoval about God knows what, was incredible. But that
there was
like,
nothing to confront
there
him
was
about.
Nothing to confront him about.
It was amazing.
And like when she gathered all the troops together to go like fuck with James at his show, like those were basically the only two great Kristen moments. True. And like everything else has just been like, she's just kind of chill, even though she'll never fully be chill. Like there's always like a psychosis bubbling underneath.
You
those
can feel
veneers.
Her twitching. And like, I feel like I feel it more because I relate to that. Mm-hmm. But you really like see her during the reunion be like, she has physical, visceral reactions to things.
To everything.
Everything. It's like lights, sounds, people.
She's
insults.
On edge.
Like, and oh my God, it was so good when James was like, what did she say? I don't even know how Carter came up, but like, I think it was James saying that Kristen has cheated on all of her partners.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, she was like, don't you fucking dare. Don't you say Carter. Like he hadn't even said it yet. And she was like, don't you say Carter. And was like shaking. And then James goes, ca. And I was like literally like screaming. I was like, yes. Like he was doing some great. James should be really the person in improv.
Yeah.
If
James
anyone
should be a talk show host, honestly, he'd be a great. He takes
the
piss
Kanye
out of people.
Of late night.
Yeah. He could be the white Kanye of late night TV.
Yeah. I think sober James could really manage something. Mm-hmm. Like, you know who I think he is a lot like that we got to see the parallels to? Stassi. Like Stassi and James, very similar, and were vibing last night.
That's crazy to me because I remember, and this will tie into like other things that we can talk about on this episode, but when Stassi and Katie and Kristen came on Pumped Podcast and like came for me, one
you
of
mean
the
your
biggest
intervention?
Yeah, when I had the intervention with the triangle brains, I remember them really like taking me to task for how much I love James Kennedy. And like, I've always loved white Kanye. Like, I make no apologies. I think he's fucking hilarious. Like, I think, yes, that he is very disrespectful towards women.
Yeah.
And I'm not okay with that. But like, God love him. And like, and I remember them just being like, Stassi was like, he's disgusting. You're like not a feminist if you like him. And like, blah, 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 blah,
blah. I love Stassi.
I know. It's
qualifying
like,
feminism.
That's a really rich episode. If you want to go take a trip down an eye roll memory lane, like go check it out ASAP because it is the most uncomfortable I think I've ever been in a room with anyone. And
that's big.
It's big. And it's like a two-parter. It just goes on and on. It's like, it's actually crazy. And I did apologize to them in that episode.
So
I
do you
have a lot
relate,
of like latent
then?
Feelings and beef? Yeah. Cause I really relate to Lala because like when.
You were Lala.
I was Lala in this episode.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Did they ever call you a slut? Like, I don't remember.
They
I remember them calling
not,
you a bully.
They called me a bully. They'd never slut shamed me. But they called me a bully and said that I was body shaming. Mm-hmm. And I was not the one to ever like say to make any like statements about Stassi looking like Miss Piggy, but I definitely lolled at
which
it
also
and thought
isn't
it was
like,
true and was not a thing about body. It was just like
if
her
you take
vibe,
that negatively,
then you're body shaming yourself.
That's on you because Miss Piggy is hot. And we all are aware of this.
She's in charge. Like, she's like a total boss.
She's literally the hot Muppet.
Yeah.
And so whatever, that's a side thing.
It was
but
more of like a reflection on Stassi's like penchant for like heinous statement jewelry and like her style blog at the time.
Yeah, and her hair.
And it was like, yeah. And it was just like, you're Miss Piggy. Like, just deal with it. Like, it's not like you took it there, not me.
They're not good at, I mean, they're not good at like lolling.
They're
in
not
general,
lawlers,
obviously.
And they have no sense of humor, which is something I truly learned. Like, what's wild is, like, I think they think that they have, like, the best sense of humor and are, like, so funny. But, like, truth be told, there's nary a lol in sight. And it's actually shocking to come face to face with and then be, like, held accountable and then have to, like, apologize. It was an interesting exercise that I think has, like, taught me a lot in retrospect. But like,
how much?
A small amount. It taught me that I don't like doing that podcast anymore. It was one of the things that it taught me.
But yeah, like, I feel like a lot might be a stretch.
Yeah, but that was a big step for me. But so when they're doing that shit to Lala on the reunion, I was just like, ugh, this is so triggering, because I've like totally been there where
yeah.
these people, like, they don't want to take any accountability. They have like, combined, the three of them have like the self-esteem of one mildly healthy woman, but yeah. like apart, it's just like, that's why they have to like band up together yeah. all the time, and they just bring out the worst in each other. And like, and then on top of all of that, they don't loll, so
they're the definition of like mean as funny, which is ironic because they accuse everyone else as being of being mean.
Mm-hmm.
But like, they're not good at like roasting.
No.
Like, you could see that on the reunion last night.
You could like, see it at the roast.
James was getting in. True. I mean, we literally had a roast this season where I have no idea what anyone said, but like, I just remember, like, I watched that with Brandon, and like, just
Ariana
like
had
the,
a good,
yeah,
good
Ariana
lines.
Had like a good set.
She had a good one at Kristen, gave like Kristen
yeah.
a good.
Yeah, she can, I mean, she knows how to make a joke, and like, it's just, it's really painful watching people think they're telling a joke, but they're just like identifying a really deep personal insecurity of their own. Like, and that's all they do, is that they just like point, they just make points, mm-hmm. but they're not good points. And that's like, you were talking about how they said you were body shaming. Like, I feel like on this reunion, we got such a good view of like, what happens when performative wokeness goes wrong, mm-hmm. because like, you have Ariana actually giving you like definitions, and like, she clearly like follows the right people on Twitter and yeah. is like, you know, that like baseline of woke that is required in 2017.
Yeah, she's Googled shit.
She's Googled shit.
She's Googled
she
it.
She doesn't have all straight white friends. There's like maybe a gay man in there.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Kyle Chan.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's like, they all have like the same one gay friend.
Yeah.
And I'm sure when anything happens, like, and it, I mean, the Pulse nightclub thing, like, we'll get into them talking about that. Ugh. But so Ariana's giving you definitions about LGBTQ and whatever. And then you have like Stassi and Kristen, like, and Katie, who I just always forget to mention. Like, they're retorting with nothing. Like, they're just coming back with these random words that like don't even mean anything concerning, I don't know, just like the LGBTQ community. And like, I felt like there was a better way than pouring alcohol down throats.
It was crazy.
They didn't even say ally, but they were like trying to get at it.
Yeah, they don't know any, they, the thing about, I feel bad almost making like generalizations like this, but I'm just gonna do it anyways, like, they're not smart. They, like, don't know, they don't, like, know about shit. They don't know about anything outside yeah. of their one, outside of their very, like, within eyesight bubble.
I mean, literally West Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like, LA to them is their world when there's, like, entire other neighborhoods, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and obviously that's focused on within the show, but, like, they were just, like, talking about, I mean, they were just trying to use terms that they clearly don't understand.
Yeah.
And I feel like they don't know themselves and like their level of awareness. And that's really the worst thing to watch somebody stumble with, is to be like Britney's mom. Like, when they on social media this season were like, Britney's mom is, I think Stassi said it on the show, she was like the biggest ally. Like, she loves gays. And I was just like, why would you
wait,
try to
Stassi
go
said
like
that on the reunion?
She, on no, the, not on the reunion. Like
on
some
her podcast
in some
or
episode.
Something?
Like, either she said it in a tweet, and I like shamefully know that, or like she said it on the show. And
oh,
she was, like,
I remember.
Oh, it was a tweet then.
Trying to like say Britney's mom is an ally, which is just like, please stop now.
It's like, why? It's the.
It's more appropriate to just be like, yeah, she fucking hates gay people.
She's from the South. She's yeah. never met a gay person that she's aware of. Like, just go with that. You know what I mean? Like, run, retreat into like reasonable defensiveness. Do not like that. It's literally like Trump being like, I love women so much.
I know. It's
insulting. Like, don't even do that. Just like, go with hating women. That's popular enough.
Yeah.
And, like, to be like, Britney's mom is such an ally, just like proves that you don't know anything. And like, when backed into a corner, your reaction is not to apologize or like use Google. It's to be like, I've never seen her punch a gay man.
It's to like double down and then just like make a lot of excuses for everything.
Yeah.
And the one, I mean, I was getting like so heated because it just felt like such circular fighting and just like coming back to the same thing where it's like, you guys don't take responsibility for anything. You try and put all of the shit on other people. Right. There's like double standards for literally every element of your life and your conflicts. It's like you can get away with saying XYZ, but the second someone else says it, it's like you're so hurt and offended, like right. crying on the bathroom floor, having like a mental breakdown. And it's just like, I was reaching this point. I was watching with like Ryan and Jonathan last night, and I was just like about to like scream. It was just like too much for me because it's so psychotic. And yeah. then we finally did get like a little bit of release when Katie actually apologized, which I was like, wow, that was actually very big of her to do.
Was it? Like, that's my thing, is that is it big to apologize to a national audience? You know what I mean? It's like, you know Touché. How bad you look, because it feels like it would have been big of her to apologize at literally any other point besides like strategically planning it for the reunion.
Yeah.
So that everyone can see it, which I know is like they do everything on TV, but it just felt like, I think it was thoughtful, but it did feel like a pre-written speech. And I don't really know, like she related it back to Lala. So it was good. And it seemed legitimately cathartic for Lala to hear, but like, has she stopped treating Lala like shit? Based on like the man stealing stuff and like tons of, I mean, the slut shaming is like ridiculous with Katie and company.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was like even touched on. Like, I think she just kind of related her own insecurities to Lala's and it was a nice moment.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess I just hate Katie.
I fucking hate her so much. It's been difficult to like confront my own hatred of her, because like anytime I like really loathe someone, I kind of always am like, okay, well, what does this say about me?
Yeah,
you know, because it's like oftentimes you're projecting your own like right. emotions onto someone else. So there's been like a lot of soul searching involved in my like,
again, you've hatred. Learned a lot.
I've learned so much. I guess I just don't like people who are blind to their own weaknesses.
Yeah.
And like it really upsets me, and I don't have sympathy for that or empathy. It's hard for me to drum up empathy for that. And yeah. I don't like stupid people, so that's another thing.
Yeah, I think like it's hard to watch someone like Katie criticize other people, because it's like, what are you bringing to the table?
Yeah,
for me. And I understand that that's me being like heavily critical of someone, but this is someone who's like chosen to be on reality TV and then like not be that interesting apart from being mean to other people. It feels yeah. like. And I mean, Katie and Tom's relationship was like the plot line of this season.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was interesting to watch, but just really, I mean, just really dark. And I still don't, I mean, I don't think they're gonna, I don't know. I don't want to like pass judgment on their marriage, but, and I just can't tell what I think is separate from me hating Katie, but I like,
it's hard. It gets blurred. The lines get blurred at times. And like, I mean, a lot of like seeing their relationship play out definitely like made me ask questions about my own relationship sometimes, where I was like, oh my God, like, am I being a Katie right now? And sometimes the
they're
answer
like
was
classic
yes.
codependent. And,
like, they're classic codependent, but like, and in that part I wasn't like super relating to, but just like, it's easy to be like, to take out your like anger or totally. Aggressions on whoever you're closest to or yeah. whoever you're dating. And like, it definitely like illuminated parts of myself where I'm like, holy fuck, like I'm being like a total Katie right now. And then yeah. it's like, it not only makes me like have a certain amount of self-loathing for that, but then it makes me like hate her more because she's like illuminating that side of me.
Yeah.
So it's this like vicious cycle. And then it's like, at some point there needs to be like a ceremony of like letting go of that or something.
Yeah, Katie in general, I just kind of realized, is like a mirror, because yeah. there's not a lot there.
Yeah,
like I couldn't tell you things that she likes apart from like makeup and Tom having bangs and dogs and then like music.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's wild that you say that, because like even when she would come on Pump Podcast, like it was like cool, exciting, like we're gonna have a cast member on. I was always all about that. But then at the same time, I was just like, would tune out a lot of the times that she was there, because it's just like, what are you even saying? Like, you're talking about nothing. Like, I don't understand like what you're even saying right now.
And it's like, making why it me matters. Feel like there's something very like
I'm missing something.
Right.
I feel like I'm missing some key element that like other people get really hard about her.
I was thinking this last night because we were drunkenly watching the season 2 reunion, because we watched this reunion and I was like, let's just keep going and let's open up the pit. And watching Katie on that reunion was like, she was way more open then and wasn't even open. Mm-hmm. And then on this one, she just kind of yelled and then apologized.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, with any character in any story, you know, you want to know what they want and what their weaknesses are and what their strengths are. And like everyone else in the cast, I feel like has that besides Katie and Tom.
Yeah.
They're just two of the most like non-driven people, it seems.
They're just like kind of wandering through time and space, like pinballing off of whatever opportunities come their way and like landing in whoever's like arms open up to them. And it's like, it truly is like, what is your passion? Like, what do you care about? Like, what drives you? What makes you get out of bed in the morning?
And like, what's upsetting to you besides each other?
Yeah.
Because if you take out the relationship, like, I don't know.
What do you have to live for?
Yeah, I mean, this is uncovering something really dark.
It's dark, but it's kind of true.
I don't, as characters, they've never been known separately.
Yeah, it's and been so, Tom and Katie, and then there was a shift. Because I remember in early seasons, I found her to be likable.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of was like down with her. Season 1, I was like open to her vibe.
Because she seemed fun.
She seemed fun.
Like season when 2, she was she like had drunk and
the
wild.
Questionable hair, which made me question, the orange hair made me question a lot of things about her. But then I still kind of took it with a grain of salt and was like, hey, you're pretty crazy. So I'll play ball. Then it slowly morphed into Tom drama 24/7, ring on a string. When are you gonna ask me to marry?
Like, ring on a string.
And it just became,
wow,
that became her driving force and purpose in the show. And that to me is like, I don't relate to that.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't relate to it, and I don't like that, and I don't like that quality.
It's not interesting. There wasn't even enough conflict with the, like, the will they or won't they get married? Because you know that they have nothing else going on.
Yeah. Eventually, so like, she'll, like, beat him down into submission and he's going to ask her to marry him. Like, it was never, like, something that kept me awake at night.
Right. I was never, like, and this season they tried to hint at them falling apart. And it was just, like, yeah, of course they're going to get married. Like, it needs to happen for the show.
And also, we saw it in this season on Vanderpump Rules, like, at the end of the first episode. So it's like, the jig is up. Like,
yeah. And I just don't know, like, what, I don't know, the other, everyone else on the show, every other cast member has something, another element that makes them an interesting person. Like, I could put them in a different situation and they would be interesting. But, like, Katie and Tom, it feels like if you take them out of Vanderpump Rules, it's like, yeah, that's just somebody in Utah.
Yeah. And they're also kind of, like, their relationship and their fighting was as, like, as drama-filled as it was also really depressing.
It was mostly depressing. It wasn't exciting because there are those, like, I don't know if we've all been in them, but I definitely have, like, Sid and Nancy relationships where it's like, we're gonna fucking destroy each other. Yeah. And it's like, that's fun for people to watch. And like, your friends hate you, but they're like, oh, what's gonna happen tonight?
Well, yeah. And there's like some people where you're just like, you download your friends on like all the day-to-day drama that's happening between you and like the object of your affection. And it's just like a wild roller coaster of emotions. But theirs is just like
sad.
It's like getting stuck in quicksand or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, It was really sad.
Watching them get married felt like watching a divorce. like all the steps they went through. And that's super shitty to say, but it felt like seeing them, and I'm all about prenups, but like seeing them get the prenup and seeing them go on the trip, it felt like the getting married in reverse. Yeah. Like it felt like the stuff that should happen after a bad union, and then they're realizing it's not going well, and then they go to couples therapy. But instead, they never go to couples therapy and they just get married.
Yeah.
It's not fun to watch.
It's not fun to watch. And also it's like people were like, oh, I teared up at Tom's vows. Like, or I thought that was so sweet. And I was just like, I walked away from watching that wedding being like, I don't even know if I believe in love anymore. Like, it like deeply cut me to my core.
In general, that's kind of the show's effect. Like, I was thinking about this because the show obviously drives home heteronormative monogamy,
yeah,
more than anything else. Like, mm-hmm. It's like, trust us, no matter how fucked up you are, you can move to LA and find someone who's either just as boring or like just as insane or like wants the same mediocre things as you,
mm-hmm.
and be content. And like, that's really the situation everyone's in. And none of them seem particularly stoked about it besides like Ariana and Tom.
Yeah.
That really do feel like, okay, this is a functional couple.
Yeah.
And they're like improving the quality of each other's lives.
Yeah, they support each
without
other.
Without suffering.
And want the best for each other.
Right.
At the end of the day.
Yeah, it's like,
even though they had that weird like cocktail book fight. But I feel
that
like
that felt like something they could move on
out.
From.
Yeah.
And work out. It didn't end them. Whereas like with every other like couple, it feels like there's huge issues they're not addressing. Like obviously Brittany and Jax. We opened the reunion last night with a spirited discussion of whether or not Kristen went down on Brittany.
Which she fucking did.
Which obviously she did.
100%.
You can see it in Kristen's eyes. When she looks at Brittany, she looks at her like with this deep. And I mean, a lot of this is the way Kristen looks at all human beings. But like, it's just, those aren't two
people. But their body language when they're trying to like make excuses and like getting all flustered. It's like, just say it and like, let's move on. It's fine.
The damage is already done.
Yeah. Like everyone in your hometown like knows that this rumor exists, Brittany. Like, and also who gives a shit? Like, you live in LA now and you're like on this path to like marry.
Be a gay icon, Brittany.
I know. Just like embrace it. Like, for the love of God.
Right.
And like, it was really weird to watch them like
lie.
Still lie about that.
Yeah.
And that's just why this show is kind of like not as good as it used to be, because in the past there wouldn't be these lies.
In the past,
they would eventually all get exposed.
Yeah. And when you catch Kristen in a lie, it's like there's always something she's trying to expose about another person.
Mm-hmm.
So you can easily like manipulate someone, I feel like, into telling the truth. It's just unfortunate that that person had to be Jax, mm-hmm. because he has no cachet in terms of truth telling.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love that. I think Andy questioned the room and was like, does anyone, was it about that or something else where he was like, does anyone believe?
It was about James sleeping with Ellie and Gigi.
He should have also done that with Kristen and Brittany.
I know, but they've made it into this like sensitive issue that's like way bigger than it is. And my instinct on that is that it truly is like, she comes from this religious family that would like disown her if that rumor was proven to be true. So they're having like this like Big Little Lies secret, which is that Brittany and Kristen definitely had lesbian sex. And like, now we all have to like cover it up and just like not say anything about
it. It's just so funny that Jax will not budge. Even on this reunion, you'd think after like the whole season, they'd, you know, wrapping this season, that Brittany would have like badgered him into like, you are fucking lying on camera for this reunion.
And you need to like apologize and like make it right.
Just like take one for the team, or like, I'm not making those turkey sandwiches anymore, mister. And Jax just got on the reunion and was like, I saw you between her legs. And like, someone noted that it was like a mole. Like, they were like, what were you like, Kristen, like popping up like whack-a-mole? And I was like, I love how they can make lesbian sex seem unappealing so deeply.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can make anything corny. But yeah, it was just a weird moment that could have been great if it happened in like season two.
Yeah, it could have
if there
been
was
great.
More at stake.
There was like also another, speaking of Big Little Lies, like a crazy creepy moment between Jax and Brittany when they were talking about like moving out of their apartment into the new apartment.
Yes.
And like she's like saying that they had to get the move out papers that day, and like Jax got angry and like blah blah blah, and he started to get so like mad, and like the look of like anger in his eyes really like scared me in a very visceral way,
because he didn't react with words or like anything besides the body language of like he wanted to get up out of his seat.
I know. And like strangle her to death.
Right. Like like move a chair or something, and like not move a chair, throw a chair. Incensed
with rage.
So much. And I wonder like how much also, because I know I keep revisiting this, but like watching the season 2 reunion right after, like seeing how Jax used to be hot and how that made him infinitely more tolerable.
Yeah.
And now he looks very washed and like swollen in the face. And
he got Botox before the reunion.
Oh my God.
He was like talking about it on all social media.
That's so dark, because it's not really doing much to improve.
No, it's done nothing.
I wish he would
improve.
Just like drink a bottle of water.
I'm like the biggest Jax whore around in like the tri-state area, like have always been just so vocal about like how down I am for Jax,
right?
And I like have turned a total corner on that, and I'm like no longer interested.
I think
which is a wild
Jax is really like the quintessential like bad boy who's cool when he's hot.
Yeah.
And now we're
and
watching
kind of like want to turn into being like your guy.
Yeah, like this domestic like puppy, but he's just too coked out for that. And like, I think we're watching this dark evolution of like, he always will be.
Yeah.
Like he's not, there's nothing about Jax that's improved.
No.
Over the course of these seasons, besides he got a decent girlfriend, but she's like, isn't Brittany like 24?
Brittany's younger, I think, than most of the people on the show. And then also I felt like I saw a glimpse into Brittany's future, which was when like
with Kristen,
when they talked about like, yeah, like when they talked about the bridesmaids or whatever, and she like led the bridesmaids ooh ha ha chant. I was like, oh my God, like Brittany is now getting sucked into the Stassi, Kristen, Katie camp. And I don't just say that because she was seated on the same side of the room as them. I truly think that it's like, she's now being like,
well,
folded.
She slept with Kristen.
Yeah. Well, she, she and Kristen fucked.
I don't just say that because Kristen was inside her.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't say that because Kristen gave her the best orgasm of her life.
Oh, you know.
You know it happened.
That she did.
Yeah. Why do you think they're so ashamed of it? Because it's probably better sex than she's ever had with Jax.
Probably. And
why do you think Jax won't let it go? Because it was better sex than, and he knows it because he's also fucked Kristen.
Yeah. And also I think that Jax, if it were another woman, Jax would think it was hot, but because it's Kristen, he's like mad because that's Kristen
grind.
Winning. Like Kristen's hooked up with like, what, like, I don't know. I mean, a small fraction of everyone he's ever hooked up with, but within this universe, like Kristen, everything he does, Kristen one-ups him.
Yeah. And she strategy fucks people. So, like, she sees an opportunity to, like, when Tom and James were talking about, like, how they moved in together or whatever, and, like, they were about to move in, and then Kristen started fucking James. It's like, that was a strategy fuck.
Yeah, and I watched that moment last night on that old reunion, and, like, Kristen's not smart in anything but manipulation, it seems. And Jax can't even be smart at that.
And getting like a rise out of people and like proving a point, like just being like, I can do this thing that will like fuck you up.
Yeah. And I think that that's what upset Jax the most about coming home and seeing Kristen between Brittany's legs, because he definitely seems like the type of dude to, in any other situation, be like, sucker tits. And in this one, like, his reaction shows a lot.
Was
about
to, like, fly into a coke rage and then, like, go retreat to, like, Tom
and get
Sandoval.
Them evicted.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so I made note of that, that they describe the situation of them having to move out as, Jax went crazy at the apartment, and don't say what that means.
Yeah,
like they're like,
was,
oh, he was arguing with the building because of like what, water damage.
They're
which,
like,
if you
AC
rent in LA,
overflowed.
Yeah.
If you rent in LA, you just tell your landlord, you're like, look, right. my apartment's damaged. Like, you need to send someone to fix yeah. it. And they might take a long time and you'd have to be a squeaky wheel about it. But it's like, they have to fix it.
Yeah.
Or like,
and also, you're not really super luxury catered to.
Yeah.
They were renting in like Koreatown. So it just
but
was
their
not
apartment
like,
looked definitely like an upgrade from the previous apartment that he had. But like, also, it's like, if it ruined the carpet, like, okay, like
new
they'll
carpet.
Put new carpet in, or they'll pay for someone to clean it.
Yeah.
And like, so it just wasn't adding up.
Brittany said he went crazy at the apartment, and you brought up Big Little Lies. And so it's like, what does going crazy at the apartment mean here? Like, did he punch the landlord? Like, you don't. And also, they were like, we got the move out papers that day. I'm air quoting super hard right now.
I know, and it seemed
what
like
are move out papers?
The way they said we got the move out papers seemed like the papers were administered to them rather than
right.
them like saying,
we were served
give a
an eviction
date.
Notice. Yeah. Is what they meant to say was we got the papers that said you legally need to vacate the premises.
Jack's main demand.
Like, it's I'm laughing, but
who will be
what other scenario could it be? Like,
yeah.
what do you do that you get the move out papers the day of, because every other situation 30 days notice.
Yeah. And that's what, well, they said they gave their 30 days. The move out papers were like,
I don't
giving
it.
A 30 day notice. It's all, it's really shady. And also, like, I think we saw a side of Jax's rage last night that like it truly was actually like very scary.
Yeah. It's because
it was a glimpse
more
into something that's not just like, haha, I'm fun loving bro that like likes to fuck and like drink. Like, it was far more sinister than that.
Yeah. And he was being so tame to James. That was like the weird thing. They have them like sitting next to each other.
They're like laughing like old friends.
Yeah. So I wonder if his rage has just been like redirected to Brittany.
Yeah. Probably vis-a-vis. Because, I mean, that's kind of the thing when you're in a relationship. Something that's really easy to do is just like take out all
right.
your problems on the person that you're with.
And when you've already maimed your landlord.
Yeah.
When you've already been evicted.
Another thing that, to go back to like the Kristen not being as crazy, is Andy forgetting to like even say hi to her. I think speaks to the fact that she just was not the same like presence that she has been on past seasons.
Yeah, she explained that on Twitter as like, well, he had just seen me in New York.
Oh.
Like, as if they were all like socializing
as
and he was
like
hey,
text.
What's up, friend?
Yeah.
Like, it was such a duck of the fact that he just forgot. And they didn't even like try to reshoot and be like, hey,
no,
another take where you greet everyone.
Because I think he also, it's like the people on Vanderpump Rules, like their ego is like so inflated. Like, they think that they think of themselves as like stars now.
Right.
I mean, especially like, I think Kristen and Stassi for sure do, and like Jax and James. I mean, most of the people, I'd say 9 out of 10, think of themselves as like legitimate
yeah,
stars.
Yeah. I think the only ones with like a sense of awareness are like Ariana and Tom.
Yeah. So in Kristen's mind, like, that is probably like a totally like legitimate excuse where she thinks like, oh, he just saw me in New York. Like, it's totally fine. Like,
he didn't want to bother me in front of everyone.
But it's like, I don't think that they realize that like Andy Cohen probably thinks you're a joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think
extremely.
That he thinks like highly of them.
No. I mean, Andy Cohen is the puppet master of like an empire of like what, like 200 unhinged people. Between every single show. So
and
it's
on
like
the tier,
no one's special.
Yeah. Like, but on the tier of like all the stars.
You're no
and
Bethany.
Andy Cohen. Yeah. You're not Bethany, Frank. Get the fuck
yeah.
out of here. Bethany, who we probably did just see in New York.
Right. Kristen, it was a weird reunion for Kristen in general, because it wasn't as, there was just not enough like Kristen star time.
I know. It's sad.
Starting with the no hello.
It was no hello.
From Andy Cohen.
The no hello says everything you need to know.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
Wait, Katie said something kind of at the top of the reunion that I made a note about, where she told someone they were getting a piece of your own medicine instead of a taste of your own medicine.
Oh my God.
Which was like, I was just like, classic fucking okay, Katie.
I made note of something that was said about Katie where, like, going off of that, Katie is not good at roasts or retorts, if you will.
No.
Or just like, I don't know, having interesting things to say. And
she gets so confused. She's
so confused.
Truly, like, you watch her in this reunion and you realize that things are moving too fast for her to process.
Yeah.
So she's kind of like looking around and like frowning and like trying to get a handle on like what people
and
are
just
saying.
Like, what?
Yeah. Over and over. She like can't do it. And then Tom's there kind of trying to like pat her leg and tell her it's okay. But you just know that her brain like actually cannot keep up at the right pace of like the action that's unfolding. And like, that was kind of fascinating and major to watch, but also yeah, like deeply disturbing, because you're just like, wow, this person is just like,
there's nothing going on. But like, me and Brandon were watching together and he didn't know who Lala was because like he clearly knows nothing. Yeah. Like, I love
you don't say.
I really Brandon's episode was just him being like, wait, who?
Yeah.
What show is this? Like, Bravo Network, Andy Cohen. But we're watching last night and like Lala, Katie said that Lala called her, she's listing off all the horrible things Lala said about her, and she said that Lala called her a no sex Teletubby. And Brandon, like, Brandon could not be consoled. Like, Brandon was rolling on the ground, crying, laughing. He, like, ran the clip back several times, and he was like, no sex, Teletubby. Like, oh my God. And
Lala can roast.
Lala can roast. And not only that, but like Katie doesn't realize how funny that insult is and how like repeating it in her rant of like, you called me fat. You said you wanted to fuck my husband. You called me a no sex Teletubby, a blob. And it's like, why would you relist that? Like, why did she also say it's just that? Like,
if someone called me a no-sex Teletubby, I'd have to give it up for that being a
that's
true...
That's so funny.
That's really funny.
What is, like... Like, what is a no-sex Teletubby breaking it down? Like,
Teletubbies... All Teletubbies no-sex.
Already genderless. Yeah. So, like, Lala driving that home is just so fucking funny. And, like, to repeat it again about yourself on national television...
I'm crying.
...just reconnects to the deep unawareness of, like, what's funny and interesting. Because that was, like... Katie, I would never have known she called you a no-sex Teletubby.
No one ever would. Where did she call her that? On
now,
Twitter?
Like, I need a small, like, needle point of that at the entryway to my apartment.
Oh, my God. We need to get Katie, the needlepoint queen, to make a no-sex Teletubby needlepoint. Please, Katie.
Wait, she does needlepoint?
Yeah, so when Katie, what? When Katie Maloney went on, like, rage commenting on my Instagram.
When she was, like...
She threatened take to this clog, cum rag. She threatened to clog my drains with her cum rags. Then
okay,
another,
by the way, the most interesting insult she's ever thrown out has been at you.
I know. And I
which
was
should
like,
feel great.
But also, it's under the influence of alcohol. I think that's the only time that her brain fully functions enough to like come up with like a worthy response.
She needs to get into
but
stimulants.
But it's all misdirected. Like, yeah. Don't get mad at me. I do a show for free about your show. Like, I'm giving you like extra attention.
So she made you a needle point?
So then Katie, who is a listener of the podcast, made a needle point that says, I'll clog your drains with my cum rags. It's literally everything to me. And so, and then I like followed her on Instagram and like saw she does all sorts of like needle points. It's like a hobby of hers.
Katie,
the listener, not Katie Maloney.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you
so
thought
that's
Katie
where
Maloney
I was,
then made me. A,
yeah. Like, I was like, I just, you saw be, the world shift in my eyes where I was like, wait, she's funny?
If that had happened and then I had just proceeded to talk all this shit about her, I would be a terrible person. That did not happen. It was a different
okay,
Katie.
Well, yeah. Shout out to Katie, the listener.
Katie, the listener.
Who, for one beautiful moment in time, I thought was Katie Maloney doing something, anything interesting.
Now you need to apologize to Katie the listener for thinking that it was she was Katie
I'm
Maloney.
So sorry that I confused. So do you have the needlepoint cum rag now?
Yeah, I do.
Wow,
it's like it's epic. It's so beautiful. And yeah, I'm trying to figure out like a good place to hang it in the apartment. Part mm-hmm. of me wants to get it framed because it's like
right.
so delicate
yeah.
that I would be devastated if anything were to like splash on it.
Yeah.
Like I want to put it in my kitchen near a drain.
Right.
Like, but then if, what if I was cooking something?
Near a drain.
It seems like appropriate kitchen
right.
art.
Right. Yeah.
But then I'm like, I think I need to protect it and like have it preserved. So I'm like, I'm still just trying to figure out how to deal with the art, but
it's
my prized
piece.
Right now it's stored in like its own container.
In a vacuum sealed.
I'm so nervous about something horrible happening.
Well,
to
you
it.
Never Katie Maloney could find out about its existence and tequila really Katie
here.
And then
yeah.
really come here and clog the drains.
But like speaking of tequila
no sex,
Katie. Wait, I forgot that that's what we like originally said.
Yeah, that's
out
why we went
point.
On the deeply boring needle
It'll
point.
Be so please make no sex Teletubby needlepoint.
I mean, hashtag no sex Teletubby is just one of the best. I want that to pop off. If we could get that trending amongst three people.
Wait, I need to, we need to find the screenshot. Did she say it on Twitter?
No, she said it. Well, I don't know where Lala first called her a no sex Teletubby, but Katie listed it off last night
it must
to
have
millions
been.
Of Americans. And like Brandon could not recover from it. Like thought it was the pinnacle of humor last night, apart from James doing physical comedy.
You know what's crazy is when Andy Cohen went into the kitchen at Sir to like conduct the interview.
Oh my God, I forgot that happened.
With the chefs.
So weird.
Which was kind of uncomfortable.
I mean, I was like, really uncomfortable.
Does he speak fluent Spanish or is he pretending to speak Spanish?
He was definitely pretending.
Okay. That kind of weirded me out.
Yeah.
But then when he was like, who's the hottest woman that works here? They all said Katie.
Did they?
Yes.
I tune out like almost all Katie information, it seems like.
They were like, so.
Because I don't even remember
Katie
that
was
happening.
Their number one.
Wow.
And they said they were like, no on Kristen. They said Jack steals everything. He comes to the kitchen. One of the chefs was like, I want to chop his hands off.
Yeah.
Which was, that was incredible.
A really good reaction. That segment was just perhaps the most horrible idea ever. Because it wasn't even like, we're the kitchen staff is actually talking to us. And like, we've put them in a dignified light. It's like, hey, you guys.
We're going to interrupt you at work.
Yeah. Oh, you guys are cooking? Okay, well, just a few cues. Like, they didn't even give them like a freelance like $600 check to do like a talking head and then translate the subtitles. The level of effort was just like so low. It felt like an afterthought. And then they were like, oh, those Mexicans have something funny to say, let's put it up
in Spanish.
It was really
weird.
It felt
weird. A little exploitative.
It felt like really exploitative to me, and just like, I don't know, it's really defining about Bravo that made it to like the first episode feature.
That's classic Bravo though.
Like, they were like, how can we involve like low pay service workers in this? Let's interrupt their shift and ask them who they want to kill.
It was illuminating, but it also felt wrong.
It was illuminating for like 2 seconds, and then they were like, all right, well, they can't say anything else, they have to get back to slaving away in the kitchen.
They're like, como se dice goat cheese balls?
That was so insulting.
Yeah, it was very insulting.
You're shameless.
Wait, okay, so I just googled Lala Kent no sex I can't even say it.
No sex Teletubby.
Lala Kent says Kristen Doty and Jax Taylor are envious, calls Katie Maloney no sex having Teletubby.
It clearly left a really deep scar in Katie's psyche, because it was enough for her to bring it up in the same breath as saying, you wanted to fuck my husband.
Okay, so here's what happened. Katie posted a photo before the season started. They were all posting photos of like the cast lineup, like announcing it. They posted photos with Lala cropped out of them. So then that prompted Lala to go on like a Twitter rant.
I love when anyone takes to Twitter.
I know.
I love when that's the opening line of a blog.
It's really
Lala
great.
Lala Kent took to Twitter this morning.
So Katie posted a promo photo that only had Lala cut off. And in retaliation, Lala wrote that she doesn't need to make fun of Katie's looks, since even her man is leaning away from her as if he's declaring that he's not with this, quote, no sex having Teletubby. I like Teletubbies.
Yeah, and they're one of the most non-sexual things I could think of if pressed. Just Lala is great at being hurt and lashing out verbally.
I love Lala. I hope that this is not the last of her.
No, I mean, I think like Bravo is smart enough to like counter with an offer for her to be on the next season, because it kind of felt like she was leaving this one, right?
Yeah, it felt like she was leaving, but then her being back at the reunion makes me feel like, and
it's
her like coming
over.
Back to like apologize and stuff, it does make me feel like it's not over.
Yeah,
but I guess we won't know until next year. Wait, let's talk about the thing, the actual thing that made me super angry during this reunion was like all the shit that went down over the Pride episode.
Oh my God.
That's when I got almost so heated I needed to like leave the room.
How did Ryan react to that?
I mean, everyone's just like
over it.
I mean, we're all just like, what the actual fuck? Like,
yeah.
That episode was already kind of problematic because it took this horrific act of like terrorism and violence, and then everyone on the show, Vanderpump Rules just made it about themselves.
Yeah, it was like, here's how the heteros are reacting today.
Here's how this affects me. And then like, let's cry. But then it kind of gives you a good message at the end, which is like, we're not going to let the terrorists win. Like, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, anyways, I feel that this was deeply problematic, but like, whatever. It's, I don't even know what to say. Like,
yeah,
every element of the show is problematic. Why
it's
would
unfixable.
I expect this? Yeah, why would I expect like, this one thing? Why would I ever expect them to be truly like sensitive to this right. horrific tragedy? So that aside, Tom and Ariana go to Sir and like do their jobs. Jax goes to Sir. Tom Schwartz shows up. Katie uses it as an opportunity to not go to work. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
And instead just pounds like white wines with Stassi and Kristen all day. Then we saw in the footage, like the unseen footage, had the fucking ovaries to like text Tom and Ariana and like shit on them for yeah. going into work and like
pouring alcohol down throats.
There's a better way to deal with it than pouring alcohol down people's
which
throats.
I love as like a euphemism for bartending.
Yeah,
like you're that boring that you view bartending as like pouring alcohol down, like what is this, the prohibition era?
Yeah.
Like they work at a fucking bar and people want to drink and it's in West Hollywood, like
it's their job.
Yeah, it was just a very like
Katie's always getting mad at people for doing their job, like she did it with Sheena when Sheena was like, hey Lala, like I know we don't like each other but let's just be like cordial at
literally
work, okay?
She was like, good afternoon. Yeah. And Katie was like, how the fuck could you ask her, good afternoon, she's a slut.
Yeah,
having a meltdown.
Like, it's called it's like, work. You have to go if
you have to
get...
like look people in the eyes sometimes. Yeah. Like what the fuck. And that unseen footage, I was a mad that it was left out of the season arc because it was like maybe one of the only interesting things that happened like plot wise with the Pulse nightclub mm-hmm. shooting being even involved with this fucking show.
Yeah,
but then the text itself was like Tom Schwartz defended it. Like Schwartz was like,
no, he said it was in poor form.
Oh, he did. I thought he was like, oh, that needed to be said. He was like muttering.
No, he was like, that was in
I'm
that
sorry,
was in
Schwartz.
Really poor form. That was in poor form. He like he and she like did not
apologize.
To my knowledge, apologize
yeah.
for that, which is just like that is just quintessential like Katie.
Yeah,
is like feeling bad about the life decisions right. that she makes as a person and not being able to own it and just say, yeah, I don't want to fucking go to work. Like, I'm not down. Like,
right.
blah, blah, blah. But then try and turn it around and then vilify someone else in
right.
order to make herself feel better. I was just like, this person is so deeply fucked up. And like, I just can't take it anymore.
Yeah. And also like making an argument between her and Schwartz. Like, this is what you were saying, but like, to make that into like a couple's quarrel is like so insane. Like just at all to make the shooting about them as like a group of like boring straight people.
To bring the shooting into this whole series was like
a mistake.
Crazy mistake. Like to be like, oh, we really need to do the victims of this like terrible tragedy justice. What we're going to do to really like serve their memory is talk about it on an episode of Vanderpump Rules. Like, get the fuck out of here.
It was so.
And I'm glad that we can say this now because at the yeah. time I remember, like, I think I watched that episode with Jax because he was on Pumped Podcast.
Jesus Christ.
So I was just like, oh my, I was like literally melting down inside being like, holy fucking shit, this is like the most fucked up way to like handle
yeah.
this thing. And then Jax's first response when that episode ended, he was like, Kristen's gonna be really fucking mad that she wasn't in this episode. And I was just like, found the nearest bridge and jumped off of
That's
it mentally.
That's incredible to think of Kristen being upset after not being included in an episode about a tragedy, like a terrorist attack.
It's just like, and that is, it's mind blowing.
I mean, they're all the type of people.
They're all the type of,
who
whatever
would,
you
like,
think of them, whatever you surmise yeah. to be true about who they are as people is true.
They definitely like make posts true. On 9/11 on Instagram being like, never forget in like mm-hmm. a bikini. I did make note of Stassi. I was cracking up because it was so insane that they even brought up the shooting on the reunion and
yeah.
how it affected them, because I had tried to forget at this point and then they brought it up and I was like, oh, fuck, again, this is so embarrassing. And then Stassi, as they're talking about it, Stassi chimed in and someone was talking over her and she made sure to say this. She was like, I walked. my dogs down the street.
With my dogs.
It was like, I was scared. And that's all she says. And then like Kristen like, started.
There were cop cars. And Jax goes, and helicopters. And like, it's like, oh my God, you guys are so brave. Like how did you manage to
she
like.
She walked her dogs. And then Kristen was like padding away as Stassi was saying, talking about her trying experience walking down the street with her dogs on the day of a nightclub shooting that happened on the opposite side of the country and affected a group of people that she is not a part of. But thank God she got those dogs to take a shit. As she's discussing this, Kristen starts dabbing away fake tears. She was not crying at all, but she was like, and just like making the actions of crying. And I was laughing so hard because I was just like, this is peak Vanderpump Rules. It's like, I went outside that day. I remember there were clouds and trees.
And it was loud and it was scary. And I walked my dogs to Katie's house.
Like, what?
Do you want a medal? Like, a medal of bravery? Like, right. What are you looking for?
And then
for?
They had the nerve to be like, you guys aren't good enough allies when they were literally having like a circle. It reminds me of like, I had this like one group chat with my friends from home. And I remember like, when there was a shooting during the premiere of like the Batman movie or something, all my friends were in the group chat being like, and it's a bunch of white girls being like, oh my God, I went to see the Batman movie. Can you imagine? And like, it felt like the whole show was being like, I went outside that day. Can you imagine if I got shot? And then just like crying over the idea of any of them like not being able to be on the reunion special. Yeah. Like something that disassociated from like what the actual tragedy was.
It was at the time it was crazy and over time it just gets crazier.
It just gets, it's not aging well. And then to have Ariana be like, they literally had a lull about what LGBTQ means after all arguing about how much they were affected by a shooting that specifically affected the LGBTQ community. Like, it's, they were all
like, Jack's like, what's doing cute? His bit. He's always yeah. like, what's cute? Like, it's just like, he's done that so many times. I think he did it on an episode of Punk. Like, it's like, this, it's just is so, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable because, like, that thing we were talking about of just like, guys, don't even try. Just like, admit that this is not your thing. And
but
just
they
move
think
on.
That they are like soldiers at the end of the day. Which yeah. is just like, that's why we watch.
I mean, Vanderpump Rules is not letting the terrorists win.
Yeah, they aren't. Fuck terrorism, you know?
Vanderpump Rules is basically the 9/11 memorial.
Never forget.
When you think about it.
Wait, the most iconic sentence maybe I've ever heard in my life was uttered over the reunion when they were talking about Gigi. Like, they're talking about to James about whether or not he right. fucked Gigi and Ellie, and he's not being forthcoming, but they're talking about like, oh, maybe Gigi's like manipulative yeah. and like trying to get on the show. And someone said in reference to Gigi, they go, Gigi said, I will fight or fuck anyone to get in this group.
Queen. Incredible. Yeah.
Queen
iconic.
Of life. Iconic.
Queen of not getting in the group.
Queen of literally not getting in the group at all.
But she had her shining moment.
She had her one thing where James licked his hand and wiped it down her face.
Jesus Christ.
Also, her name is just GG, which I've always loved.
Like, imagine wanting to be a part of the group.
Imagine saying, I will fight or fuck anyone to get... It's like, all you have to do is actually be nice to people. Like, you could just go up and be like, hey, what's your number? Like, I'll give you my phone number. Want to go see a movie sometime?
I think they've demonstrated that that is not how you get involved in this at all.
If
like,
you
which
to,
friendship
like...
was hatched in a normal way? Sheena and Ariana is the only one. The rest of them are like...
Little sweeties oh, who like we... met in college.
Yeah.
Everyone else has like fought and fucked each other to get where they are. If I like identified a group of people and then realized I was like, oh, in order to like get into this group of people, I'm going to have to fight someone or fuck someone. I would be like, maybe this group isn't for me after all.
Yeah. I mean, I think like that is something that I want to say I would not be down for. But then when I like look back on friend making histories in my life, it's kind of like
fucking
oh,
someone's
okay.
a pretty easy like, way to get into
it. Right. That's like a pretty easy way.
Not always in the way that you want it to be.
No, yeah, that you're going to get spit on in a nightclub.
Fucking someone to get in the group is like a classic, like, early 20s move, I'd say.
Yeah, and I think, like, this all harkens back to, like, their theories on why people want to be friends with them, and they think, like, they're very cool and put out that vibe of, like, this is an elite group of friends, like an elite squad. And then, like, I just thought about, like, the SVU opening.
This is an elite squad of Teletubbies.
Yeah, the Vanderpump Rules is an elite squad. These are their stories. But, yeah, they think that it's really hard to become friends with them when Gigi really cracked the code. Like, in actuality, to become their friend,
yeah,
you just have to go in and be awful. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to get involved in the fray. Yeah. That happened to you. Like, you almost were...
I know, and I didn't even, like, fight or fuck anyone, much to my detriment. I would have loved to actually fuck someone on Vanderpump Rules.
I mean, maybe Kristen told. Will...
Kristen,
go down a dark path of listening to this and
come
hear,
try and come over.
Yeah,
I welcome that. I'm ready. I'm like, truly, I'm still down for Kristen at this point. I'm
not.
Like, Sandoval is my number one.
Really?
Yeah, Sandoval. Wow. Is like, there's something about Sandoval, I've gotta say.
I think in real life maybe, but on the show I'm very like,
in real life, and now it's bleeding over into the show. So like, Sandoval and then a threesome with Ariana and Sandoval would be like great.
Yeah.
Kristen, I think my number two.
Yeah.
And
number three, Lisa.
I don't know. Lisa's like, doesn't seem like she would get that wild.
I mean, she doesn't seem like she has sex.
Yeah, she really doesn't, actually.
To be fair, which is like a cool sort of vibe. Mm-hmm.
Number three is like Andy Cohen.
My number one is Andy Cohen. Like, I think my version of having sex with Andy Cohen would just be him telling me what's wrong with me.
Yeah. And like, kind of lightly making fun of you by asking you like pointed questions.
Yeah. And then like, I have a cocktail, and I guess I'm describing the experience of being on Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah, basically. Wait, so who's your like top? Who would you fight or fuck to get on in the group?
Well, realistically, I think the person who I would like encounter and sleep with, like in just in terms of like personality types, I think it would be like a James type.
Really?
Someone who's just like a little shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like enthralled by that. And then I just get like brought into the fray.
James is enthralling because he kind of like... He seems like he'd be very, and I mean, I've met him like a couple times.
Yeah,
but
not to brag.
Yeah, well, you know me. Always humble about my connections to this cast.
He's really easy to manipulate.
And he's like kind of just forthcoming. Like, he's like a chatty guy,
I guess.
So you could just like talk and like talk shit
right,
about
I don't
people.
Think we would need to like go beyond the surface level. And that seems like the type of person that I would just like encounter easily.
And James lolls.
Yeah.
We saw it last
James
night.
Lolls. He gets offended really easily. Like, great. We're down for great times. But I don't know. Like, outside of that, if I were to really come up with a ranking of like people that I would want to fight or fuck, like, at this point, it would be like Kristen. Like, because the guys are all like so domesticated and sort of like asexual to me now that I used to feel sort of like a douchey attraction to Jax.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like he would just murder me.
Yeah, he's too dark.
And that's too dark for me to entertain as a Vanderpump Rules fantasy. And then everyone else, like, girls-wise is sort of boring. Oh, Lala.
Lala, yeah.
Lala.
She's hot.
Lala's hot. I don't really sense that she's would be down to hook up with a girl. Kristen, I get the vibe that she's like...
Kristen is down.
Just, yeah. I think I'm just expressing like a deep pathological sexual attraction to Kristen. So that's just pretty much it.
Join the club.
Peter. Peter, that guy from
Peter's
New Jersey
out
on
and
season
about.
One.
Yeah. You could potentially match with Peter on Tinder.
Right. I think I remember that from being on Tinder. That's a dark journey.
I have a note that says just a general question, which I'm wondering if anyone else noticed, especially you, which is, why was Stassi's tongue green?
Oh, I did not notice that.
It was like a greenish brown. It was really gross.
The makeup on this reunion was better than it has been in the past.
Yeah.
Like, that was something that was a relief.
People's outfits, I mean,
were terrible.
So Ariana's outfit, I thought, looked great. I mean, everything that everyone wears on the show is like cheap. Like, where did they get it? They like walked onto the bad part of Melrose
and spent
Avenue.
Like $600. But yeah, Ariana looked great.
Ariana looked great. Sheena and it was, like, looked cute. Great. Britney wore something that I still can't figure out what it truly
was. It looks like a nightgown.
It was like a bordello nightgown.
It was very weird.
It was ghostly.
It was
sexy, ghostly.
Britney always kind of seems like she's doing like a costume without knowing it.
I always say that she looks kind of like, she has the energy of like a whorehouse madam.
Yes.
And so this felt like a period piece. This outfit was like, it was kind of Westworld.
Yeah, she was like doing a tour in New Orleans, like a ghost tour. She should have been holding a lantern.
She was like, y'all don't want to go in that room.
Yeah.
It's like a room where they kill gay people.
Which is very much like her vibe in general, is just being like, oh, Jax, don't murder me.
But I'm still like, I'm excited that we get two more hours of getting to really figure out what her outfit is. It's like also a Victorian like ghost.
There are like little ties too.
It's like connects at the wrist, then goes totally away. But then the fabric then connects back at the shoulders. So it's just hanging kind of down from the arms. But then there are ribbons hanging
off. It's couture.
Yeah. And then there's the thigh slits, which are all the way up to where I think you can see her
panties. It looks like there's just like a long loincloth protecting her from the world.
And then there's like a deep V.
Always a deep V.
It's like a halter. There's so many elements. It's like five different.
Now that we're talking about it, I feel like I need to go back and figure it out. I wonder if
it's
like
very artistic.
Do they fashion bloggers say where they got their looks?
I think only I don't even know if Style by Stassi remember? Still exists.
Yeah, it just wow.
But I wonder if it does.
Styled by Stassi died so that Straight Up with Stassi could live.
I didn't love Stassi's outfit. I thought she looked like she was melting.
I mean, I think it was like a Fashion Nova.
It was bad.
Like, it was just like a very generic, like, ruched red dress. And then also, like, her hair was like a severe, like, pulled back look. And I feel like maybe she was just like going into it. Like,
all the like fillers that have happened. It's like just everyone's face. And if you go back, it's just crazy the amount of fillers that all the women have had. And even the men, like Jax has had.
Oh my God.
Like, go compare their faces from like season one or two to now. And it's like different people.
Kristen's it's like a horror face movie. Looks better, I think.
But it also is frightening.
Yeah,
like when she smiles, it actually scares my soul. It scares my inner child.
Yeah, well, all of her smiles look like a wince.
Yeah.
And her feeling like any joyous emotion in general feels like she doesn't know how to do it, which I relate to.
Yeah.
So like, cool.
Katie was in like a knockoff version of Kim Kardashian's VMA Galliano dress. Do you remember that look that Kim did with like the wet hair? It was like long, wet look. And then she had that ruched dress that was very sexy. And then Katie's was like falling off of her. It was just like,
why don't they have money or like the access to PR people to get decent clothes? That's what is the biggest mystery
to me. Like, the publicist at Gucci is going to be like, yes, please give my clothes.
But there's got to be a struggle imitator that's not on this struggle level. Like, I feel like they're missing out on the entire mid-tier of like...
like Reformation or something?
Yeah, like, why not just...
even Reformation, I don't feel like would want to be like associated.
Yeah.
I don't think... And this will be the test of time if we see if like brands in like actual brands that you would care about like and aspire to wear yourself would go out of their way to then dress and accommodate these people.
I guess that probably Stassi was like the person who tried that shit and it did not work out.
I feel like she has to buy all of her, like, yeah, she buys like her Chanel handbags and like,
which is
her Chloe handbags and stuff.
It,
I don't,
blows,
think that,
my mind.
I don't think a PR person at Chloe is giving her free,
no,
bags.
I just, yeah, I want to know like where they're buying clothes and why don't they have any friends to be like, hey, like maybe don't wear the tutu or like the long silk robe,
yeah,
on television. Like Lala, wait, though, like, sartorially,
that slip dress like doesn't look good over the shirt. So like, just don't. Like, it's,
oh,
just,
yeah,
flattering.
We see a lot of
Lala,
like,
looked chic last night.
Lala looked great because she went like, simple,
a white pantsuit,
3 foot long hair extensions. She did a really like classic, sleek, simple look.
Andy loved it.
Andy loved it. Andy was like, love the hair.
Her lips and were so glossy, so big.
The lip gloss was popping. She was wearing a fake pearl collar,
mm-hmm,
that was great. It was working.
She
and
looked incredible.
Yeah, I love how like Lala ends up being the picture of elegance,
style icon. Elegance is learned.
That's how bad the looks are. And was, what was Schwartz wearing? Completely,
what is he ever wearing?
What is he ever wearing? Like, he's always wearing,
he's
like,
wearing like a blazer and like,
yeah,
a shirt that like feels either rumply or like it doesn't fit,
yeah,
just quite right.
Which is weird being friends with Sandoval. Sandoval, I wonder if he was wearing a leather jacket because he like always is.
Sandoval, like, was wearing like a shiny tie, which I really liked.
Solid.
Yeah.
That feels right for him.
Sheena's eyes are like so big now. Like her whole,
I think
eye
it's
makeup,
her face
eyelash,
is smaller.
Yeah.
I think she's learned the magic of, like, honestly,
she kind of looks like a hot anime character.
Yeah. I get into weird, like, physical insecurities with this show because, like, they've all had procedures to be more attractive and they all have, like, hair and makeup people. And yeah, I'm like, what am I doing in life that I feel less, like, put together than the cast of Vanderpump Rules? And then I remember that, like, their version of put together is, like, I don't, like, anything on Melrose and then just, like, Botox. And I'm like, what is it about? What am I... what is in myself that I find this like aspirational when,
well,
I'm watching?
When you when you see, because you like watch a lot of reality TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same. And like, I think when you keep seeing people over and over and over, and especially like Kardashians, who's like arguably Kim Kardashian grows more and more beautiful with every passing year.
Yeah. With every passing procedure.
Yeah. And it's just like, and they don't speak to like the fact that they do a ton of plastic surgery,
yeah,
but like they literally have reconstructed their entire bodies and faces.
Right.
So when you see it, I think as a woman presented to you time and time and time,
yeah,
again, and then with these people that won't speak to it, but then you see it with these people who are very open about it, probably because it's the only way they can afford it is to be,
yeah,
open about it and get it for free. Then it becomes like, oh, like, do I need,
yeah,
to do
this
that?
Is doable.
Like, this is
like,
I could just have like huge lips if I wanted, or like, and it's like, that's not, I mean, I'm all, I love people that get plastic surgery. I think it's amazing. And
right,
like, had I more disposable income, I probably
would have, I would
gone,
be there.
I would be there in a heartbeat.
Thank God I have
later this out. I wouldn't even be doing this podcast. I'd be out like getting Botox and like laser treatment.
Yeah, obviously.
But that's like not how people really look.
Yeah.
You know?
Sheena has, I think, gotten a really good handle, like whoever she's going to.
Sheena's seen a good person.
She is, because some of them you can tell that whoever they're seeing, Jax, they're just like getting the money sucked out of their accounts by a plastic surgeon who's like purposely fucking up the nose job or is like his coke dealer as well.
Yeah.
Like, and just like eroding that septum over and over again, because it's like these procedures are not improving upon you. And like, you don't have anyone in your corner being like, maybe chill for a second.
Yeah.
I think Sheena definitely, like, I don't know, has that member of her team.
Yeah. She's like letting it, she's letting it be crazy and then like settle down.
Yeah.
And like grow into itself before she like goes back.
Sheena should host like a makeover show or something.
Yeah. Like
maybe
the swan. Like,
oh my God, I forgot about the swan.
They're all like swanning.
Oh my. The Vanderpump Rules is one long reverse swan,
mm-hmm,
of not improving your life and like maybe fucking up your appearance long term, which is why I love the show.
Yeah.
Ryan said last night he thinks the show could go on for 10 seasons. And I'm like,
wait, what season are we on? Five?
We're on season five.
It feels like season 10.
Part of me is like, fuck you, it can't. Like, I bet next season is the last season. But then part of me is like, wait, you might be right. Like, they could just cycle in new servers and like, and just keep kind of following. Because they were like, we have to film in DTLA because the cast is like too big to fit in Sur now.
Which was like such a lie. It which felt also, I was like,
didn't you have everyone? Yeah. Yeah. Was that a lie?
Like, well,
they're tricking me.
I feel like, yeah, they have like two more people. Like, am I really to believe that the cast is like so big and like needs, I don't know.
Yeah. It just maybe they're like, just trying to sell it.
Andy, you're just on a soundstage. Like, just stop like trying to be like, the show has grown so much. And, like, over polishing the narrative. Just like, chill.
Yeah.
But I don't know if this, where do you think like season 8 would be then?
I mean, if it were to continue for like 5 more seasons,
my life is going to be ruined.
Mine will be too. Like, how am I? Yeah, gonna, I mean, this podcast almost took it out.
You're
going
to have to be hospitalized.
Yeah. I'm going to need to like, go on a retreat after each season where I like do a hardcore detox and like do like a silent zen retreat.
Like a sound bath.
Yeah.
That lasts a week.
I think that they could follow the Toms or whatever their like restaurant, Tom Sandoval. They could follow him. Follow like Jackson Brittany into whatever their relationship is.
I have my notes are so bad that my last note is just the cooks, what the fuck. And we already
true
went over that.
Stassi saying calling someone anorexic is a compliment.
That was mine. Illuminating. Like that it felt like I was getting a little bit triggered because it felt like peer mediation in middle school. I don't know if you had that, but at my school in rural New Jersey, I guess we just didn't have guidance counselors. And so they would like, if there was a student conflict, you could like fill out a form. And then one of your peers, who was usually like a reliable nerd type, would try to like work it out and would just end up like 5 girls in a room screaming and crying.
Love that.
About each other. And that's what it felt like. Like Ariana was like, it was problematic or whatever phrasing she used for you to call her anorexic. That was body shaming too. And then like Stassi was like, oh, please, I would die to be anorexic.
And that's
and she
thing.
Was like, go to Taco Bell.
Yeah, where she thinks that she's so funny, like, and thinks that that's funny. But really, it's just like you're basic and your basic humor. And but that's the thing is like, I feel like what's so disconcerting is that I feel like a lot of like young women watch that and think of her as being this like bastion of hilarity and like wittiness and like hilarious observations and like, oh my god, yeah, eat talk about that. But it's like,
yeah,
this woman is like single-handedly destroying women. FYI.
I mean, true. Like Stassi is the
like these three women that you see that are trying to promote like say like this is what like positive female friendship looks like. Like, don't be fooled.
Oh my god.
Yeah, like that is not the look.
Stassi's very much like I forget what like marketing like consumer feminism where it's just like I'm a woman and anything I say is right and it's just really like hating of women because she kind of has this like self-hatey complex and a lot of shit that she needs to figure out. And that was like watching her just show her ass about like how little she knows about things and how it's just like all about how she personally feels. Like I feel like I've gained weight so like no one around me can be dieting or like no one around me I mean can just like criticize me at all and she was just like,
well, she's just like truly ignorant.
She's really ignorant. And like she I remember recently too, and this is like embarrassing, but when you look at like Stassi's Twitter, when I look at Stassi's Twitter is what I mean is like there's a lot of her like comparing herself to Khaleesi and like all these what I can only imagine are like 22-year-olds maybe who are just like, yes, go off, who like haven't been like slapped down by debt yet and are like, this is what living looks like. And that like, okay, so you look at her Twitter account and it's all about that. And then like when she's on the show, it feels like she's supported by all these insane fans who just constantly enable her from like the podcast. And then when she's confronted with like any reason or logic or like, I don't know, just sort of like invitation to be interesting, she just like kind of can't.
Yeah.
Like, I know I just keep saying that they're boring over and over again, but I'm just like so bored by like the three country coalition that is like Kristen, Stassi, and Katie.
Well, it just, people supporting other people's bullshit.
Yeah.
And not like, it gets old after a while. They're not bringing anything new. They're not, the friendship dynamic is not bringing anything new to the table.
There's like, no for a while, conflict. It was
like, yeah, but there's just like, it was interesting because it was like Kristen's gonna fuck Jax or whatever, and like Katie exposed the secret, or like Stassi thought she was better than everyone and like left. But now that they're like back together again, it's like, okay, well, you guys all feed into each other's like bullshit narratives, yeah, and like support the worst elements of each other and are truly like hard to watch because you're not like, you're not funny, you're not smart or well spoken. It's just like, you guys suck. So
yeah, it's a really bad example of friendship, and it's also like really boring to watch on TV. And we don't have anyone exposing each other anymore because they're not too busy, but they're just like refusing to air anything out. They're just like, we're supporting our best friends. We would, this was like season two, we would totally have like videos of Kristen going down on Britney.
Yeah.
Like there would be so many texts. That would
have
gotten
exposed. People would have like flipped out over it. Like it's just, it's, everything's in a different place and people are evolving into, I think, like maybe who they like truly are. And really what it is, it's like,
I think not evolving.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, but like, and I don't think it's going to get, I think this is like as good as it gets. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's a very,
and it's sad and makes you feel weird at the end of the day. Cause you're like, wow, like I've grown so much in the past, like 4 years that Vanderpump Rules started, like where I was then is not where I'm at now. And like how I feel about life has changed a lot. And like, I feel like it's like everyone is constantly evolving and like, I guess most people are trying to like gain understanding of themselves and like be a better person and like go on this like journey of self-discovery. And then you see these people who are just like never going to do that. And it becomes like, it becomes almost too dark to watch.
They used to like destroy each other. I mean, they used to really be Katie and Tom's vows where they were talking about like burning it all down,
burning it to the ground
and rebuilding. Like, now there's no burning it all down. Like the scorched earth is kind of gone with the three, with Katie and Kristen and Stassi. And so they're just like all staying in the same place.
And they just are like, I guess we have this like fucked up history with each other, but that's like just how it is. And like, let's get fucking drunk.
Yeah, it's just like, I can't imagine what they do on a regular basis. Just like white wine nights and
like the same shit that they've been doing for years. Right.
And it's like, at least have the white wine night and like fuck some shit up.
Yeah.
And let's do something. But there's just like nothing happening. And it was not fun to watch them all like gang up and not destroy each other.
Yeah. Well, I think that is a good note to end on. I'm like officially depressed.
Well, it's really weird and unexpected that this ended up being the most depressing podcast, but I was talking to Robesman about like coming on because he said on his episode, he was like, if you don't want to be on TV, fucking kill yourself. And I like laughed so hard and I texted him and I was like, great poll quote. And then he was like, oh, when are you doing it? And I was like, oh, I'm going tomorrow. I'm ready to make it sad. And I really manifested.
You did, but I really enjoyed this conversation. Things got like really deep and there's now a lot more to think about. And I think our listeners will agree.
Yeah. You guys, work on yourselves.
Work on yourselves. Try and get better.
Really fucking zen.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know.
And Katie, the listener, make a needle point, please, that says no sex, have in Teletubby.
That was an amazing gift. If let's end on that. Yeah. Now.
Never forget.
Never forget.
Bye.
Bye.